Yeah, what a great little song it could be. Could be today, could be the next moment, could be right during this time that we're together here. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because these guys were left with a hope, too. And even though they didn't experience it in their lifetime, it's still a promise that's true to us today. We constantly see it and are reminded of it. We remind each other of it all the time. Because it gives us encouragement, it gives us help, it gives us strength, it gives us endurance. It just, it does something to us and for us that only God could really, you know, have done so perfectly. And there was a period of time between now and when that time occurs. And so, I'll never forget a statement Joyce Meyer made once. She said, you know, between the time of when you receive the promise and the reception of the promise, what's going on during that period of time? Because there is a period of time between point A and, let's say, point C. And the middle of that is called B. And so that's where the mechanics of life and the dynamics of all the ups and downs and circumstances and situations and life and death and sickness and all the variables of life are going on. And yet that overriding hope just keeps us going. It just gives us strength. It just helps us. And even the time of those 10 days between when Jesus made the promise and the actual fulfillment of the promise, what did these disciples and others, what did they do? I mean, I was talking with Vicky about this in the car today, and I mean, I don't know the answer to this question necessarily, but did they know that when the day of Pentecost fully came, that the evidence of the reception of Holy Spirit would be the manifestation of speaking in tongues? I don't know if they knew that. I don't think so. And so they had to put themselves in a place to be prepared for the unexpected, because this miracle of Pentecost and all of the things surrounding it, which we're going to develop even further, it was part of a grand plan that only God could come up with and really implement. And maybe we see like a tiny little piece of it and we get to benefit. And hopefully as we fellowship together and talk and, you know, examine the scriptures and then live out the reality of the Pentecostal experience, let's say, then we enjoy the fruit of it. But anyway, these guys probably were a little overwhelmed in their mind. I mean, they'd been on with Jesus, died, buried, resurrected, came back. He was with them and in these various situations in his resurrected new body for 40 days. And then all of a sudden this. Kind of a mind-blowing situation, really. And he said, go to Jerusalem, wait. Wait for the promise of the Father. Okay, now in my mind, I'm wondering, what were they thinking about what was the promise of the Father? You know, I mean, we know he said a lot of things to him, but for some reason, they didn't seem to have real good memories. You know, it's like, you know, I must go away so I can come back and I'll send the comforter to you. And, you know, a number of things. But how much did they really remember all those things in the context of what was happening right here? Could very well be they were like, okay, we'll go, but. You know, I mean, so many things, that instruction that he gave them when he said he breathed on them, you know, as an instruction of how to receive. And then the actual implementation, realization of the giving of the Spirit. And then they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I mean, this was a new thing. This had never happened before. Really interesting. And so what was it like during that time? Between when Jesus ascended, I mean, I would think they'd be talking about it. You know, whoa, can you believe that happened? And then the conversation with the angels, and then really being faithful and patient to wait and to go to the city of Jerusalem and to wait for the promise of the Father, right? And being assembled together with them, verse 4 of Acts 1, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. And then it goes on and it said that they went back to Jerusalem and they continued in one accord, and they were in a posture of praise and a posture of prayer. And I thought, you know what, that's a kind of, that's a really neat thing, that they actually went and that they were faithful to follow through, not even really knowing what the end result would be, except there was a promise that was coming, and it's going to be powerful. And so they went, and the story continues. But what this really reminded me of was the subject of trust. They were put in a position to really have to trust the words of Jesus, especially in light of all of these situations and circumstances that were going on. And so I stumbled into this, and maybe you've heard it before, but in 1939, as the threat of World War II loomed, the British government coined the slogan, keep calm and carry on. In the event that Hitler's army invaded England, the posters were to be distributed to England's general population in an effort to galvanize their resolve to resist German aggression. Should Germany invade across the English Channel, it would be one of the darkest times in world history. Under the shadow of Nazi air raids and bombing runs, death and destruction, and a world thrown into chaos, the British knew the people would need encouragement. The future of the free world teetered in the balance, and in those dark times, believers everywhere prayed fervently. Thankfully, most of us will never have to face that kind of tragedy and adversity in our own lives. Nevertheless, today we find ourselves embroiled in a different kind of war. Our lives seem to be under constant assault. Worry, fear, stress, and anxiety make war on many of us daily. Our society has accepted depression and discouragement as common social ailments. Anxiety threatens to immobilize us as unfulfilled dreams, loss, divorce, sickness, death, failures, mistakes, and criticism seem to rain down on us like bombs. But God is not the author or cause of such destructive atrocities. The Bible clearly states in John 10:10 that it's Satan that is the enemy who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and that Jesus came that we might have life and have that life more abundantly. So where do we turn in these trying times? The same place the Christians did in World War II did. P-R-A-Y-E-R. Prayer. Just as with the British facing the threat of German invasion, we must keep calm and carry on. When adversity comes, however, simply keeping calm is not enough. We cannot fight the enemy of our soul with a slogan. Neither can we carry on in our own strength. We need to rely on and gain our strength from God. We need to trust Him completely and totally. I just thought these words are so inspired, and I love it when, you know, you kind of take this historical documented reality and then you can make it applicable to believers' lives. Just to not just keep calm, but keep calm by in that we're trusting God. We're trusting God. And that's actually the name of this little book called Keep Calm and Trust God. Whether we realize it or not, many of the battles we face in our lives today are spiritual battles, and we cannot win with just our own willpower. When trouble comes your way or when bad news hits you right between the eyes, be determined to replace fear with confidence in God, to replace worry with faith in Him, and to replace anxiety with His peace. Keep calm And most of all, trust God. God has promised to never leave you or forsake you. He wants to be a part of your life. And when you need his help, all you have to do is ask. In your hour of greatest need, he will uphold you and sustain you. He will give you peace in the midst of the storms of life. The hope is that these things will provide encouragement, strength, and inspiration to overcome whatever challenges you may be facing in your life, because God is on your side. God is for you. He will see you through. And I thought the fulfillment of this promise in Acts chapter 1 being fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, I could only hear the memory of, I would call him our Father in the world, in the Word. He says, there's only one thing that'll change a man. Remember this? There's only one thing that will change a man or a woman, a young person, and that is to be born again and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only thing that changes people, is to come to a point where you're done in your own strength. And, you know, I can almost hear him saying it, but he just stood in front of people and just shook. But at that point, you become bold, because it's no longer your strength. It is the indwelling presence and power of the Spirit. And that's what we're looking to celebrate. That's what we're all a part of. But it comes down to really trusting God. Trusting God. And so, you know, maybe it'd be appropriate to close in Proverbs chapter 3. Sure, we could all attempt to quote it. But hey, let's just go ahead and read it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3, 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and what? He shall direct thy path. There's a great promise. Jesus said, go to the city of Jerusalem and wait. Well, they could have said, well, hey, they could have found other things to do. But you know what? In their minds, they decided to trust the words that Jesus had spoken. You know what? And God and Jesus Christ never worked at enmity. They were working together. See, these words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So as they decided and made the decision to go, then the reality of what happened 10 days later, unknowingly in some ways to them, life changed. Man, for the first time, received the Spirit of God born within them that they could never lose. And at that time, God birthed the family. And it is such a great, wonderful, special reality that probably is far deeper than, you know, we all know and understand, but we're doing our best. But, you know, the truth is, it's a great display of the love of God, that he knew all of this stuff, and of all of the things God could have done, the evidence of the seed of the Spirit being placed in man was the manifestation of speaking in tongues. I mean, only God could have done something like that. I mean, I could have never come up to that, you know. And so, you know, what a joy and blessing it is to be in this situation. Oh, boy. Let's see what happened here. Yeah, and so we just have so much to be thankful for during this particular time, and we look forward to celebrating with the body of Christ for those who know it's significant, and maybe we can help some others who don't know it's significant. So it's a blessing to be here, and I'm excited about the weekend and being here with Bob and Jeannie and Judy and Joe and Jeanette, Vicky. And I'm excited to see what God has in store for us as the body of Christ, and not just to be reminded of, you know, how great it was then, but how about now? How about now? Because Pentecost is still changing the lives of people, and us, ourselves included. And we're a work in progress. Transformation just doesn't stop. It's ongoing, thank God. We don't have to be satisfied with where we're at, you know. I read this quote that said, you know, I may not be where I used to be, but thank God I am where God has gotten me to be, you know, at this point. So why don't I have a prayer, and then we'll look forward to being together on Sunday morning again. We start at 9 a.m. Pacific time. For those of you who want to join by way of conference call, or if you're on Facebook, you can go to Facebook Live on the Acts Now Fellowship page. We broadcast the live teachings. So that'll be Sunday morning, the 28th, 10 days after the Ascension, and we'll celebrate, have some good time together, all right? So Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together to open the Word and let this living Word just speak to us and minister to us and help us and heal us and encourage us and so many feed us. And like Rebecca said, that we just take this Word and we just eat it like the best meal we've ever had, and that it does things to us spiritually that only you can do. And we thank you that you've placed us in this point in time in the body of Christ where we can learn and grow and develop. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.